Your On the Mark podcast is loading now. The On the Mark podcast is sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company, family-owned dealership since 1915, 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, on Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. News Radio 1070 WKOK presents On the Mark. It's a chance to voice your opinion on the events that affect life in the Susquehanna Valley. Call 1-800-795-9565 or email onthemark@wkok.com. Now, here are your hosts for On the Mark, Mark Lawrence and Joe McGranahan.
Greetings and welcome on board the WKOK live telephone talk show On the Mark. I'm Mark Lawrence. Joe is here. Joe McGranahan. Rob Center is the producer. It's Monday the 26th, 2019. The show sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company.
You're going to sing the whole program?
That's sound
like you're an old announcer at the railroad station. Leaving on track 9 for Anaheim, Azusa, and Cucamonga.
When you sing the psalm, what is that called? When people sing, you intone it, I guess?
Chanting.
Chanted, okay. So we're going to chant the whole show
today. Enchanted evening. Never mind.
Who is Sam and who is Janet? That's what I want to know.
Sam and Janet?
Yeah, you said.
Oh, Sam and Janet. Okay, Sam and Janet's
That's
evening.
A pun, I think, from...
That one's so old, it's got moss on it.
A MASH, maybe. I think that might have been from MASH decades ago.
Could have been.
On the Mark, sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company. Check them out at sunburymotors.com. Our toll-free line is open. Call us 1-800-795-9565. Anything on your mind, feel free to give us a buzz. 1-800-795-9565. You can email us at onthemark@wkok.com, and it lands right in our email in basket where we do not have any listener emails pending at the moment. You can text us at 70236. If you are a Text Connect member, just reply to a previous message or feel free to start up a new one at 70236. If you haven't signed up for Text Connect yet, you can simply do so at WKOK.com. We have it on the Connect With Us section of the page. And what that means is that you sign up, you give us your cell phone number, and we would send you no more than a dozen texts, probably anywhere between a half a dozen and 8 or 9 texts a month. And this breaking national or local story that you will have, that does have an impact on us, that you will be talking about. We have stories that we do text connect about the local roads that might get closed. We tell you about really major dead celebrities, A-list celebrities who pass on and go to the great funeral.
Happy hunting ground.
Right, happy hunting ground, right. And who go to Valhalla.
Valhalla,
if
right.
They happen to have been in Viking or... what's that other one that we, you and I both watched it about Vikings?
You're talking about The Last Kingdom.
Yes, The Last Kingdom, which is what, a Netflix show, right?
Yes.
All right, so anyway, so they go to Valhalla.
Much better than the Vikings.
All right, they go to Valhalla, or they get stuck in, what is it, Wilhelma or something like that?
Something like that, yeah.
All right, so anyway.
They don't get the feast and drink.
I'm way off on a tangent here. Anyway, oh yeah, tornadic weather. Weather warnings we would send out via Text Connect. We did send out a Text Connect yesterday. We were so excited about the U.S. winning the World Series and Southern Columbia winning their game.
The Little League World Series.
Right.
You said the World Series.
Well, I think Southern people know what we're talking about.
Southern people? What about Northern people?
Southern Columbia won the football game. The Phillies did not win yesterday, as is always the case practically with the Marlins. They got their number, so we didn't include that in our text message, although that game was winding up at that point, too. And Sarah Lauber did sing the national anthem. She nailed it, as always, during the Little League World Series championship
game. She did
indeed. So that was good to hear. And let's see. So that's about it. So that's the opening preamble to our show. Joe and I always start out with a little bit of frivolity. We've already explained pleasantries. Our weekends were satisfactory.
How about some unpleasantries? You got a minute for one of those?
Oh, let's talk about the president.
Well, I want to talk about Bill Maher first, you know, because the left
is
supposed...
This is a comedian on Homebox Office?
Yes. The left is supposedly so loving and friendly and inclusive. Well, you know, left-wing host Bill Maher on HBO made comments Friday night about the death of of libertarian billionaire and philanthropist David Koch, saying that he was glad Koch was dead and that he hoped his death was painful.
Oh, jeez.
News of the 79-year-old's death sent shockwaves through the world of politics and media, with those on the political left celebrating with glee over his passing. In a clip flagged by News Business's Buster Baker, or Brent Baker, Maurer said, "Yesterday, David Koch of the zillionaire Koch brothers died of prostate cancer. I guess I'm going to have to reevaluate my low opinion of prostate cancer." Then he said, blank him. I won't repeat. You can guess what the blank is. Blank him. The Amazon is burning up. I'm glad he's dead, and I hope the end was painful. Koch Industries released a biography of Koch after his passing that celebrated his life and documented a specific life event that changed his life and led him into philanthropy. On February 1, 1991, David was aboard a U.S. Air flight when it collided with a SkyWest plane upon landing at Los Angeles International Airport. Altogether, 35 people died, 29 were injured. David survived. Surrounded by smoke and fire, he barely escaped the burning cabin through a galley door at the front of the plane. And he said at the time, "I was amazed that I had survived this accident. Thinking back on it later, I felt the good Lord was sitting on my shoulder and that he helped save my life because he wanted me to do good works and become a good citizen." David told that to Barbara Walters in 2014. "Following that revelation, I became tremendously philanthropic, and I intend to continue being very philanthropic for the rest of my life." In total, David pledged and contributed more than $1.295 billion to cancer research, medical centers, educational institutions, arts and cultural centers, and public policy organizations.
Yeah, public policy unfairly influencing elections.
So, I mean, do you think Bill Maher, I mean, you guys on the left, you're so loving and
stuff.
You guys are so loving and inclusive, and you want everybody to have...
He's off the list. He's out of the club.
He is.
No, he's no longer a progressive Democrat.
Well, all right, if you say so.
If you can't say those kind of things. You have to be... But can you imagine, can be glad he's gone and his influence has ended, but you can't say mean things. It's against the rules.
Here's the contrast. Over the weekend, Ruth Bader Ginsburg announced that she had finished her cancer treatment. The president says some very nice things. He wished her well, said she was a very tough person and that she would be, he'd be glad to see her back on the bench come October. Yeah, he said very nice things about her. But if the president had said something like that about somebody on the left, can you imagine uproar, the outrage?
Well, I don't think...
And where's the left calling for Bill
Maher
to be...
Bill Maher has the same obligation that the president does. I think that comedians are supposed to be funny and whatever they think is funny.
Tell me what was funny about that.
Well, I don't think it is, but I'm just saying that he thinks it is, so that's his art. That's his art.
Well, you laughed when I read the part that said he had to reevaluate his low opinion of
prostate
cancer.
Well, that is a funny way to say it. It's a funny way to say it. I don't think
you found that amusing.
I don't want anyone to get prostate cancer, but I think that's sort of a funny way to say that. You know, you're happy that the disease took this guy. But look, it's he's obviously a comedian. If you think the president of the United States and one of the, you know, mediumly known comedians in the U.S. have the same obligation for decorum and diplomacy and behaving like an adult, you're perfectly mistaken, because the president should be the bigger person in all of these discussions. He's not. But, you know, that's his nature. That's his thing. He wants to behave this way. He is the way he is. So, and half of America wanted him in there.
Well, no, so but nobody, no, the president doesn't claim to be all, well, I guess he does claim to be all loving, but the Democrats, I mean, the left is always saying how diverse they are.
But he's not the president of the left.
But they don't like diversity at all.
He's not the president of the left.
He's the president of everybody, whether you like him or not. He is the president of the United States.
Oh, President Trump is, yes, of course. Yes. Don't be silly. But Bill Maher doesn't represent anybody. He's just an individual.
He represents the people who believe as he does.
No, he does not.
Yes, he
does.
Come
on now. Don't be silly.
I believe he speaks for the left. Many times when he says something they like, they all applaud and cheer and yell and say it's wonderful.
The president speaks for you?
No, not really.
I didn't think so. Okay, nobody speaks for anybody.
Not always. Well, sometimes they do. But I just think this is a sad state of affairs in our country when someone's passing is greeted with comments like this, no matter what.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't deny that Koch...
Well, the president set it up. I mean, Bill Maher wouldn't be as popular as it is if it weren't for the president. And these comments, if they had just been buried on Home Box Office with the rest of his shows, I mean, give me the 10 highlights of his show this past month.
Well, one of them was he actually came out against Ilhan Omar and what's her name? Who's the other?
Well, he's the smartest progressive in the world.
Well, over their insults to Israel.
Okay.
So, I mean, he has balanced it somewhat, but I just find this kind of thing very counterproductive. I mean, this is not the way we should be behaving in this country. And we have people on the left who are quick to point out everything the president says that's racist, homophobic, xenophobic, any phobic you can think of, they're on it. If he says it.
Triskaidekaphobic.
Right.
He hates Friday the 13th.
13th. Well, what's the one about fire, hating fire? There's one for that. I forget, too. But, I mean, that's the problem here. And the president needs to do it, too. We need to be more tolerant, more understanding of one another's positions. And just because somebody disagrees with us politically and funds something else, when George Soros dies, you think somebody should come up and say, I hope his death was painful? I don't. George Soros has every right to spend his money on whatever political aspirations he may have.
That's not true. Honestly, Koch brothers and George Soros and the rest of these individuals used wealth to unfairly impact elections. Look what they did to Pennsylvania's gerrymandering. Perfect example.
Who did that?
Thanks to Franklin Curry. The Koch brothers got involved in that. You read Franklin Curry's book.
I did.
He talks all about it, the undue influence that led to the gerrymandering that led to the big decision to fix the districts by the courts after they were finally, it became obvious that they had been badly gerrymandered.
Well, I would have liked Franklin's book a little more if he had focused a bit more on Maryland, too, where the Democrats did exactly the same thing.
What does Franklin Curry have to do with
gerrymandering?
Maryland?
You're talking about the book was about gerrymandering. Maryland was every bit as badly gerrymandered as Pennsylvania.
I thought it was no. The book's just about Pennsylvania.
I know, but I said it would have been better if it included an incidence where the Democrats did the same thing.
Well, that's true. It would have been better if it included a lot of things that it doesn't need to include because it's a Pennsylvania gerrymandering book.
Well, it's a book well worth reading, no matter what.
All right, Than, thank you so much for putting me out of my misery for a short time. You're on the mark.
I'm trying to turn my radio down. Over the years, I've told so many people to turn their radio down, and I reached over and couldn't do it. Good morning.
Good morning.
Morning.
Hey, Joe. We are not robots, as the Republicans are. We do not follow Moscow Mitch. We do not follow Bill Maher. They are people who may or may not be funny. I didn't think that comment was funny. I thought it was inappropriate. So please, when you have nothing to say, please don't blame the left for everything. It's just not us.
Why? You blame the right for everything?
Diverse.
You blame the right for everything?
No, I don't.
Yes, you do.
Okay. All right. And you understand me a lot better than I do.
You got that right.
I actually try to blame the people who appear to be at blame for things. And the other thing that I noticed, everybody says, well, them commentators on MSNBC or those commentators on Fox, don't listen to them. They're just a bunch of people giving opinions. It's the news that's important, and if you can't tell the news from the chaff, I guess I would call it, you probably ought to go read a novel or something.
Well, I think you would agree with me, Than, that the line between news and commentary is so blurred today on all the networks that you can't tell the difference.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Well, I'm sorry. Some of us can tell the difference.
Oh, some of us are smarter than others. Thank you for telling me that.
No, not smarter. It's just we care more.
You care more than that.
I have heard your values, Joe, and I'm disappointed. Your values are less than I expected. And, you put your 401k before the planet, all kinds of things like that. But I don't think it's you that's being bad. I think it's you're following people who are misleading you, and you are listening to commentators. Commentators are just making stuff up.
Oh, well, thank goodness you're following Bernie Sanders, and so all's right with the world, right? And
no,
I'm following somebody
I listen
bad.
To what they say, Joe.
Who are you following? Who are you following?
You do not.
Who are you following, Than? Who are you following?
Who am I following?
Yes. You accuse me of following blindly somebody. Who are you following?
I'm following right now Nobody, because I haven't figured out where to go this time. I don't think it's time to figure it out at this point. I think we ought to be learning and not choosing at this point. But that's everybody's thing to do. What I do is listen to the speeches, Joe. Got to try that sometime. Don't let
I
don't
do.
Let
I
one
listen
of the
to
Fox
the
people tell you what they said.
I listened to cockamamie Bernie Sanders talking about spending trillions of dollars without not any clear result. A part of his funding plan involves suing companies to the tune of $1.3 trillion to recover some of the costs of his Green New Deal. You think that's common sense?
I don't know. I think we need to find out. I know other countries do much, much, much better than we do with health care. We don't put people into bankruptcy when they go to the hospital. I mean, other countries don't. We do. And I really think that something has to change. Now, you know full well, I like smart people to be in office. I find, in my estimation, we do not have a smart person in the White House right now. We have a person who vacillates all over the place, who can't seem to keep straight what he said yesterday. So, yes, I am against Trump. I do not hate him. I absolutely dislike his way of thinking. I guess I have to say, if that's a way of thinking.
Is he racist?
Oh, gosh, yes.
Is he homophobic?
Oh, my goodness, yes.
Misogynistic?
I don't know about that, but I think so.
Anti-immigrant?
Oh, my goodness. You haven't
that's
figured
obvious.
That one out yet?
Well, I'm asking you, I said anti-immigrant. Tell me what he's ever done that says he doesn't like immigration. He's exactly said the opposite. He does like it. He doesn't like illegal immigration.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I had forgotten that if he says he's done it, you believe it.
Well, if he says it, you disbelieve him, so what's the difference?
Well, I think honesty is the difference. I believe people who are honest. You believe people who, I guess, who put money in your wallet. I think that's weak.
Well, I hate to tell you, Donald Trump hasn't put a dime in my wallet. He
wait
hasn't
a
taken
minute.
A dime out
oh,
of it
wait
either.
A minute. I heard the other day that he did. You said that you had a tax break that just made
no,
you
no,
feel
that, that was Mark who said that. I didn't get a tax
Mark.
Break.
Okay, I my apologies, Mark.
I thought you listened to everybody.
Oh, no. I listen to everybody, but I'm getting old. I don't hear.
Welcome to the club.
Anyway, I think you ought to start listening to speeches and not commentators for a change.
I did. I listened to every word that came out of Bernie Sanders' mouth, and it scared me half to death.
Oh, I'll tell you what. If I weren't so old, I'd be dead now from what comes out of Trump's mouth. Good grief. He doesn't even believe that humans lend our hand in global warming. And we know that that's true. I know you don't think it is, but I don't worry about you. You and I are going to be gone before it's a problem. It's our grandchildren who are going to pay the big price for us not taking care of the planet.
Okay.
All right. Thank you so much for checking in, Than.
As always, it's a pleasure to hear your opinions, as wrong as they are.
I just want to straighten you out, Joe.
Yeah, thank you, Than.
Being of the same age, I know how lost you can be.
I know. I'm just wandering out here in the wilderness. Thank you for setting me straight, buddy.
Okay.
Take care, Than.
Thank you so much, Than. Very much appreciate it. All right. Longtime two-way radio host, Than Mitchell, and, of course, On the Mark co-host and occasional guest co-host now, Than Mitchell on the line.
And generally wrong.
Always, always informed and always correct. That's Than's motto.
Well, that's his motto. My motto is onward and upward, but I don't always achieve it.
1-800-795-9565. We're talking about our humble president, who one individual, what's the other clipping say about him that you brought in today that he has a mental dilemma?
Yeah, this is from CNN over the weekend.
We have to take a break, but what's the first sentence?
All right, the headline is Duke professor compares destructive Trump to Hitler, Stalin, and Mao during a CNN interview.
Right, okay. All right, we'll see. President Trump taking some grief, but getting a lot of accolades for his normal behavior at the G7 summit. So we'll be talking about that. 1-800-795-9565 is our telephone number. You can email us at onthemarketwkok.com.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Subaru Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC way. The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Welcome back. I'm Joe McGranahan, Mark Lawrence. On the Mark is the name of the program. Our phone lines are open, 1-800-795-9565. Email us at onthemark@wkok.com or text us at 70236.
We're talking about individuals who have Trump derangement syndrome, apparently.
Well, this Duke professor certainly has something. This is pretty incredible. Duke University psychiatry professor Alan Francis claimed President Trump may be responsible for millions of deaths and said he's been more destructive than infamous dictators Adolf Hitler, Mao Zedong, and Joseph Stalin, a series of claims that sparked criticism over CNN's lack of pushback. Francis appeared on CNN's Reliable Sources Sunday and almost immediately contradicted himself by comparing Trump to mass murderers right before he discouraged personal attacks. I love that. No personal attacks, but Trump's a mass murderer. Trump is as destructive a person in this century as Hitler, Stalin, and Mao were in the last century, he said. He may be responsible for many more million deaths than they were. He needs to be contained, but he needs to be contained by attacking his policies, not his person. Francis called Trump crazy, or said calling Trump crazy would be an insult to the mentally ill, and claimed American voters are insane for wanting to elect him in the first place. So we're insane. We're insane.
Never mind.
He said, I've known thousands of patients. Almost all of them have been well-behaved, well-mannered, good people. Trump is none of these. Lumping the mentally ill with Trump is a terrible insult to the mentally ill, and they have enough problems, Francis continued. Calling Trump crazy hides the fact that we're crazy for having elected him, and even crazier for allowing his crazy policies to persist. Well, the CNN host, Brian Stetler, faced backlash on Twitter for not stepping in sooner to challenge Francis's initial comments and later acknowledged he should have done more. He claimed, I love this claim, I agree that I should have interrupted after that line. I wish I had heard him say it, but I was distracted by technical difficulties. Not hearing the comments is my fault. But I don't think he'd have stopped him anyway. But so we're crazy. The president, we don't want to insult mentally ill people by calling the president crazy because
that's
an insult to them.
Well, that's a cute line, but it doesn't really mean anything. Well, he thinks the president's crazy, but
he doesn't. He thinks beyond crazy. He's a mass murderer. He may have killed millions of people.
I'd like to know.
A professor of psychiatry at Duke University.
Well, this is one of the rare cases where we need an even longer article to explain where he thinks the president has killed all these people. I don't like any of the president's decisions except for six of his decisions, but out of the hundreds that he's made. But one of the things he hasn't done is been extremely hawkish with our military. He threatens a lot, and I think that probably helps keep us out of some conflicts.
Remember what Teddy Roosevelt said, speak softly but carry a big stick.
Well, I guess the president has
re-round that to speak loudly and carry a big stick.
Okay, well, that's fine. I looked it up on Wikipedia, and the president did approve a missile strike in Syria that had a death toll primarily of individuals associated with the military and was part of our, I guess, our ongoing conflicts with Syria, but he threatens to attack here and there, but he's also pulling us out of Afghanistan. He's overseeing that. You know, he certainly could undo that or go back in. So I don't think this president really has a death toll per se of being hawkish. I mean, I think you can criticize all of his decisions.
Well, what makes you think this guy is talking just about military actions? I think he's talking about social actions as well, alleging that everything the president has done has led to people dying.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whether militarily or the economy or the environment. I mean, I gather he's covering a wide range of things here because he refers to his policies, not a policy.
Not a war. Okay. Well, I think you could certainly find other presidents that have a bigger death toll than this one.
Oh, certainly you could.
So
if you're going to attribute every death and every war to an American president, I'd say FDR had the record.
I dislike everything this president does, but almost everything. I have to stop.
You vacillate as much as he does. You keep changing your opinion.
As much as the president.
I hate him.
but I don't think he's killed that many people. He certainly made life difficult for many people, but they're not dead yet, so.
All right. Well, when we come back, we need to talk about the other left outraged this morning. He's talking about hosting the next G7, but hosting it at his club in Florida.
Oh, in Doral.
They're all saying, well, he's going to make money on this one. What if he donates it? Then what will they do?
I think we should just write off the president's going to enrich himself. We can just stipulate
it. Oh, brother.
This is WKOK Sunbury.
News Radio 1070 WKOK presents On the Mark. It's a chance to voice your opinion on the events that affect life in the Susquehanna Valley. Call 1-800-795-9565 or email onthemark@wkok.com. Now, here are your hosts for On the Mark, Mark Lawrence and Joe McGranahan.
Greetings and welcome back to the WKOK Live Telephone Talk Show On the Mark. I'm Mark Lawrence. Mr. Joe McGranahan is with us. And Rob Setter is our fabulous producer, so we appreciate his help and hard work. He makes things happen. So we're very grateful for that. On the Mark is sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company. Check them out at sunburymotors.com. Our toll-free line is open. Call us 1-800-795-9565. You can email us at onthemark@wkok.com. and text us at 70236. Some brief news headlines here. A man who's already in the Northumberland County Prison is facing more charges, this time for assault and threatening staff. The individual, Michael Robinson, who has addresses in Shamokin and Bloomsburg, currently incarcerated at the Northumberland County Prison, attacked two inmates and threatened a guard at the prison. He's facing a series of new charges. Weekend recap comes from Allie Stevens, who is at the anchor desk on Sunday.
In Montour County, PennDOT says an 11-mile stretch of Interstate 80 in Liberty and Valley Townships was the subject of continued road work. The work caused extensive delays during peak travel periods, and starting at 7 p.m. Sunday, various sections of the right lane and shoulder of I-80 westbound were closed between Danville and the Northumberland County line for shoulder reconstruction, and fully restored two lanes of travel will take place Friday, August 30th by 9 a.m. Watsontown man arrested after threatening a woman with a loaded gun. Watsontown police tell us the incident occurred Tuesday at 10:30 p.m. Watsontown officers say 23-year-old Logan Mathias stalked a female at her home by lying down with a loaded firearm. Upon the woman's arrival, Mathias threatened her while pointing a loaded gun at her and threatened to kill her and another female occupant. Mathias is charged with terroristic threats, aggravated assault, attempted burglary, and several other counts. And WKOK's own Sarah Lauver got to sing the national anthem before the championship game of the Little League World Series Sunday afternoon. She says she wasn't expecting to get the honor, having just recently sent in her demo tape to Little League, was hoping to get the opportunity next year, but then they gave her the call saying this year was needed. Lauver has also sang the national anthem at numerous Baltimore Orioles games at Camden Yards and for the Williamsport Crosscutters and Harrisburg Senators. With your WKOK recap, I'm Allie Stevens, WKOK News.
Hundreds of bicyclists have been caught with their pants down and their shirts and underwear off, too. The cyclists gathered at a Philadelphia park Saturday to disrobe before saddling up and setting off on the annual Philly Naked Bike Ride. About 3,000 riders pedal a 10-mile course around the city of brotherly love while taking in sights, including Independence Hall and the Liberty Bell. Some riders wear their birthday suits while others flaunt their underwear or sport just a splash of body paint and glitter. Melanie and James O'Connor, who painted each other's nude body in multiple colors, are riding for the seventh time. "We like riding around naked a lot," he said. The couple met in 2012 at the ride and have been together ever since. "I took a picture of him the moment we met, and 7 years later, we're still naked." The ride is to promote positive body image, advocate for the safety of cyclists, and to protest dependence on fossil fuels. A major issue for the Orrin Roth Eisenberg, who participates every year.
Any truth to the rumor you're trying to start one here?
It's a fundraiser, but I do have a naked bike ride around here. But you have to be sure to do the get people to pay the registration fee before they set off on the ride.
Right, they don't have any
after
pockets.
they did have a pot at the end of the ride that they could contribute to.
So why naked? Why did it have to be naked? Why not just a bike ride for it?
They're promoting positive body image. Your clothing, I guess, covers that up. I don't know. I only have one paragraph about this. Advocating for cyclists is sound advice. We really would like to see more people riding bicycle.
And if they weren't naked, would you actually be talking about it right now?
Well, probably not.
No.
3,000 people on a fundraising bike rider, that's a lot.
A Philadelphia bike ride would not attract the attention a naked bike ride attracts.
Right. So, yeah,
so suppose
point.
I decided to have a naked hay ride in the fall. Around here, you think that would go over?
A naked hay ride.
Probably a lot of people
do a story about it. Absolutely.
Would you do a story?
Yeah,
okay.
Absolutely. I think it'd be interesting, and that would reduce our dependence on fossil fuels.
That's true.
In some ways, there's another story that relates about women and clothing. Where is that? I sent that out to you early today. From New Hampshire, three women. pardon me. Three women who were arrested for going topless at a New Hampshire beach are asking the U.S. Supreme Court to hear their case. Heidi Lilly, Kia Sinclair, and Ginger Perino were arrested in Laconia, New Hampshire in 2016. They are part of a global campaign advocating for the rights of women to go topless. The New Hampshire Supreme Court upheld their convictions earlier this year, ruling that Laconia did not violate the Equal Protection Clause of the Constitution with its ordinance barring women from showing their chests in public. New Hampshire Public Radio reports the women have filed a petition to the U.S. Supreme Court appealing that ruling, arguing the ordinance is inherently discriminatory on the basis of gender.
Well, it is, isn't it?
It is.
If you walk down the street with no shirt on, nobody would think much about it. But if a woman did that, it would become a serious issue.
And people would think, if they saw me without a shirt, and they would think something about it, it would not be good. There's no reason other people
Are
should
suffer. Are you body shaming yourself, Mark?
Just realistic about the perception of what I would look like without a shirt on.
Well, I wish them luck with their suit. I hope they win.
Yeah, or their lack of it.
Well, the lack of their top.
They wear a top. Hey, I think you and I have talked about this a little bit before. I am not advocating that women be allowed to go around topless, but they should be allowed to go around topless if they so desire.
Wait a second. I'm having a little trouble with that.
Well,
I'm not advocating women go around topless, but I'm okay with them going around topless.
Right. I think they should be allowed to if they want to. I'm not saying that, I'm joining.
Well, then you are advocating for it.
I guess so, but I'm not advocating so that they'll do it. I just think they should be able to. I think it is discriminatory. But so where's the line? Okay, so if we allow women to go around topless, where's the line where everybody has to wear a bottom? Would we stop at the top, or would people want to be nude as they moved about in society?
Well, there are places where there are nudist beaches,
well,
and there
yeah,
are nudist
but I mean,
camps and places where
and
people can go without clothes.
The crazily small amount of the world. Everything else, you have to, wear clothing.
Well, the
Every
question becomes,
else.
Should clothing be optional or mandatory?
Where? Everywhere.
Everywhere. I mean, there are times where it's obviously appropriate. You wouldn't want to go into a business and find the receptionist there with no clothing on.
Yeah, no shoots, no shoes, no shorts,
no service.
You have to wear some shorts in here.
But, as a concept, I think those women have every right to appeal to the Supreme Court. I'll be interested to see whether the Supreme Court takes it. My guess is they won't touch it with a 10-foot pole.
Mm-hmm.
Just because it would upend the established norms completely.
Well, that's the court's law or rule or job is to look at discriminatory laws that we've just accepted over the years and to decide, well, hey, that's not right. Why should women be forced to wear clothing on their chests when men are not? I mean, what you would see is the mammary glands of a woman. It's not like you're going to see some bizarre anatomical phenomenon that
Well, it depends on whether they're tattooed or not.
Okay, so tattoos, you can see them all over people's arms.
That's certainly
permitted.
Well, in any event, I just think it's a rather unusual lawsuit, and I wish them luck with it, because I think they do have a point. I don't know whether, in all circumstances, how you would explain it to children, let's say, if you walk down the street and a woman approached you with no top on.
Well, how about there's nothing wrong with women's tops?
No, but I think it's what I said earlier. It would upend the established norms.
You
would have to explain to little girls when they are growing of age why they should cover themselves or why they shouldn't cover themselves. You know, it's a matter of coming to terms with our own hang-ups, if you will.
Well, yeah, it's a matter of coming to terms with your hang-ups. I'm sorry.
I have no hang-ups.
I'm sorry, dear daughter, but old Joe and Mark are so old and white and in the way that you're going to want to cover yourself up.
Boy,
so
that's
you don't.
Sums up your whole political philosophy, old, white, and in the way.
Yeah, that's the way I am at home a lot. Honey, you're in the way.
Well, I think you're in the way.
I hear that a lot. Old and in the way. I think it's either a band or a song, Old and in the Way.
I'm not familiar with it. In any event, I think that the lawsuit will be a very interesting thing to see as it goes through the courts. And I guess they've been denied other places, according to the story.
Yeah, in the lower courts. They've
gone
up
to the
state Supreme
Court. I would be fascinated to see if the United States Supreme Court takes it on.
All right, 1-800-795-9565 is our open phone number. Earlier today, we talked about President Trump in a manner of speaking, but mostly because, Bill Maher was primarily talking about one of the Koch brothers died. Which of the Koch brothers? I'm ashamed to admit I've forgotten his first name already. I lumped them together so often.
David.
Okay, so David Koch died, and Bill Maher was gleeful about this and hoped that the death was painful, which is inappropriate, but that's his shtick as a comedian.
And he's reevaluating his low opinion
Sounds funny.
Of prostate cancer.
I hope his death was painful, he said in his latest comedic response. Doesn't sound that funny.
The blank him, I'm glad he's dead part wasn't very nice either.
That's his thing. So, well, it's political humor, I guess. So, and then we talked about...
Not exactly a knee slapper to me, buddy.
A professor who says that the president is responsible for the deaths of many individuals.
He says
more
Duke
than
University
Stalin.
Psychiatry professor Alan Francis claimed President Trump may be responsible for millions of deaths and said he's been more destructive than infamous dictators Adolf Hitler, Mao Zedong, and Joseph Stalin.
Well, probably because of climate. The article cuts off before he says precisely why he's responsible for these deaths, but it's probably because of climate. The president, the U.S. should be taking a lead role in helping to stem climate change from getting worse than it is, and that certainly will have a global death toll, and tragically, we won't pay the real price for that. It's mostly other countries
will
pay the biggest, steepest price.
One of our texters says that so-called doctor may need to be put in the nearest mental care center. He has a serious case of Trump derangement syndrome.
Mm-hmm.
I agree with that.
Yeah, to say that the president has caused a big death toll. But I guess climate would be the way,
but still,
if there is a way.
In Jews alone, World War II, Hitler's behest killed 6 million, at least. And overall, I think the total was something like 32 million people died in World War II.
Oh, bigger.
More. Not all of them related. I'm talking about from the German side.
Oh, just the Germans. Okay.
So from that standpoint...
To
compare President Trump to any of those people goes beyond belief.
If you add up the deaths from Roosevelt, Churchill, Stalin, and Hitler, that's 100 million or so?
I don't remember what the exact total is, but I think 32 million is the amount attributed to the war in Europe.
Well, he's not a U.S. president, though.
Could be wrong.
All right, 1-800-795-9565. We've asked for callers, and Dick responded from Milton. We also talked earlier today about nudity in the Philadelphia nude bike ride, and women in New Hampshire would like to go topless. Dick, what's your response to that?
Well, this is just a quick question. It was within the last month I saw somewhere, and I think it was the United States, that some people raised a fuss, like in a restaurant where a lady was nursing a baby.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess my next point is, if you would allow women to walk around with no tops on, what would be the big issue if they were nursing a baby?
Yeah, good point.
Well, I think that's like a separate conversation. It seems to me that
I'm not saying it isn't, but I'm just saying, what would be the big deal then?
Well, yeah, that's a separate conversation.
Big difference. As I recall, some of the other patrons complained. If I remember that story correctly, Dick, does that sound right to you?
That's right. But I guess my point being is, if people would walk in the restaurant with no tops on, I guess the next step was, I don't see where it would be illogical for a lady then to nurse a baby. I guess that's my only point.
Okay.
Well, I think nursing a child is something that's very natural, and I don't think that should be prohibited at any point.
Well, going topless is natural. That's no argument. It's unnatural to put clothing on.
It's natural in the overall scheme of things, but tradition is a little different.
Let's listen as Joe backpedals on his bicycle nude. All right, thank you so much, Dick. Appreciate the call. 1-800-795-9565. Quick break. We will be right back.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC way? The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Welcome back to the KOK Live Telephone Talk Show on the Mark. Off mic, Joe and I just cured all known diseases, fed the poor.
No, actually, we just discussed the moral implications, if you will, of some of these remove the clothing discussions that we're having.
Right, yeah. Who's at fault if a woman is topless and a man goes crazy? Well, if the man is at fault because he should control his emotions when he sees a nude woman. All right, 1-800-795-9565.
But what is, I think the larger question is, what is the point of the nudity? Is it just that men are allowed to do it, therefore women should be allowed to do it, or is it some practical thing like, well, it gets awfully warm, and no matter how much I pare down what I wear, I'm still too warm, so therefore I wish to be able to remove my top completely?
Well, and you have to think about, let's decide which instance we're talking about. Philadelphia had a nude bike ride that was mostly a demonstration and a slight fundraiser to it, which the bucket is out before the ride, and so that was that. And it's kind of a whimsical thing. I don't think it has significant political implications. But in New Hampshire, three women say they should be able to go topless on a public beach because men can. I agree with that. But if men go crazy on that beach and they're staring and they're murmuring and they just can't contain themselves, well, it's the men's fault, not the women. The women are just laying there. It's the men that have the inappropriate response.
Well, that's a tough one, I think, because you know, human sexuality is not something so easily contained. You know, it's natural if you see someone of the opposite sex that you find attractive, that you are inclined to look.
Right.
Maybe not to in a lascivious way, but just to appreciate the beauty that you see there.
Okay, I agree. Well, nothing wrong with that. So we're only talking about men's inappropriate behavior that's bad.
Well, who decided that women should cover up in the first place? When was the decision made that women should cover their tops but men don't have to? Who made that decision and why?
I don't know. That would be in Europe many, many years ago.
I can remember those pictures of people going to in bathing suits in the 1890s, you know, and the women were covered from ankle to the to neck. You know, we've come a long way since then. Obviously, someone at that point, they always refer to those as Victorian mores because Queen Victoria had some rather serious ideas about how people should dress and behave.
Women were covered up in biblical times. Most of the Old Testament stories talk about women being covered and then the disgrace of being uncovered sometimes. So it's 2,000 years old, this idea of keeping women covered up.
So, in other words, it's biblical.
Well, in the Bible it is, but in the rest of the planet...
Where in the Bible does it say, thou shalt not expose thy top? I must have missed that commandment.
Well,
is
no,
that number 11?
I don't think it's a rule.
Did Moses drop that one on the way down from the mountain?
Yeah, that was on the third
the
tablet.
The third tablet,
he
right.
dropped on the way down. Oh, gosh. Lance, you're on the mark. Thank you for waiting. Go right ahead.
Well, that's okay. We just turn on the old speakerphone. We're listening anyway. It doesn't really matter.
Good.
But yeah. Well, anyway, I now that I've gotten older, I guess, I tend to think of things the way a friend of our family's who indeed was a true artist explained it many years ago. And that was, as we think of our Creator, after our Creator had hung the moon and the stars in place, created all the beautiful growing things, everything that moves upon the planet. What was his last creation? And that was the human female form. After he'd practiced up on everything else, his masterwork, as it were. So, that's the way I feel about it now, too.
Well, it came from a rib, right?
Well,
if you buy the
know.
Story.
Well, it's a rip a one-liner, I guess, you know. But you think about it, that was the last thing the Creator did. And I think it was his masterwork. And to cover it, I think, would be a sin. And I'm surprised, though, at Laconia, because they were, should be, used to, like, lots of bikers up there, you know, for the Nationals. That's where we used to go. That was sort of the West Coast... Anyway, I'm trying to remember the name.
Well, let me ask if I understand you correctly. You're saying you believe women are sinning by not uncovering their tops. Is
yes,
that your point?
Absolutely.
Women should be
and
required
I think
that, to wear naked. That's not but, right either.
Well, I don't know. I think it would be pretty neat. Think about it, though. you're probably going to buzz me off the air for this one, though. And that is that the folks that they were arrested were not for nudity, but for vagrancy.
Why vagrancy? What?
Well, that's
no, because they allegedly couldn't afford clothing, or
no? That's the law they used. They didn't have a nudity law.
Well, no, then they can't arrest people for nudity if they don't have a nudity law.
Well, they must have thought this applied.
Well, vagrancy. I mean, no visible means of support.
Oh, brother. You're killing us, Lance. We should have deleted
yeah,
that.
Yeah, we should have, yeah. It's I didn't true. Realize you were in a bad joke.
Oh, brother. Thank you so much, sir.
You bet.
Appreciate it. 1-800-795-9565. We'll take all callers on this topic. 1-800-795-9565. There was the nude bicycle ride in Philadelphia where 3,000 riders rode a 10-mile course around the city of brotherly love, which is not really a short ride, considering you're not wearing bike shorts. While taking in the sights, including Independence Hall, they were advocating for positive body image, the safety of cyclists, and protesting dependence on fossil fuels.
Well, how did that enhance positive body image?
Well, I guess because some of the riders aren't what you and I might think of as the model body. You know, they're not the women aren't 36, 24, 36, and the men aren't buff. So, you know, hot-looking guys. They're just normal people, not to be ignorant. They're like you and I. You know, they're just shaped like whatever they happen to be shaped
like. Mesomorphs.
Yep. Yeah. Okay, but anyway, if you look at the pictures, I mean, there's certainly some good-looking people in that, but it isn't predominantly...
I noticed the AP shot them from behind.
Okay.
They didn't shoot them
AP
from the
has some front pictures, but they have the naughty bits, you know, pixelated out so you can't
the
see.
The naughty bits.
That's from Monty Python.
Okay. What are naughty bits?
Nipples and,
okay, the
and
whole thing.
Genitalia.
Oh, all right. Well, if that's okay.
Oh, and backsides, too. You don't see.
Well, you see that. You can watch
backsides.
That on television.
Right. I mean, well, nowadays, but you don't see entire backsides.
Classically, the TV show NYPD Blue was the first to show rear nudity on television. And, of course, everybody in the cast eventually was exposed from behind.
Showed their backside.
Notably, Dennis Franz, the actor who played Detective Andy Sipowicz, who was really not your typical buff. He was
right.
A middle-aged guy, and he,
okay.
He was a little embarrassed about doing it, but he did it.
Well, what was this scene?
It was him and a girlfriend that he finally started dating again,
here's his backside as they
right,
enjoy
as
each
they
other.
Right, were headed to, I guess, bigger and better things.
Valhalla. All right, 1-800-795-9565 is our telephone number. It's sort of an accidental trend, but we're talking about nudity. We have the Philadelphia nude bike ride, and we have the three women in New Hampshire that were on a public beach in Laconia back in 2016, so this is really pending a long time. Part of a movement called Free the Nipple, where at least some point in some place, women should be able to go topless, they say, and they've asked the U.S. Supreme Court to weigh in on this. 1-800-795-9565. You can email us at onthemark@wkok.com. Paul, you are on the mark. Thanks for calling in.
Well, if nudity was legal, it would create a lot of family fights because the wife would turn to her husband and say, "What are you looking at? What has she got that I don't have?"
Okay.
It would create a lot of marital discord. Well, yes, but the man would be at fault for that, for gawking and staring, I guess. And
I think men would have to become much more adept at sneaking a quick glance without being obvious about it.
Which you've mastered, I take it.
No.
Well, did Adam have the opportunity to glance at somebody else?
The snake.
No, it was just him. Well, didn't they have children at some point?
Yes, they did.
All right.
And then their children killed. One killed the other.
Oh, dear.
Over nudity, perhaps.
Or is there some other issue? All right. So there'd be more marital discord because a man would be caught gawking at a more attractive woman than his wife, right? Well, then that's the man's fault.
Or would it lead to the ultimate in body shaming, that a woman would feel she had to improve herself so that her man didn't look at someone else?
I know.
Yes,
well, that's...
but in Scripture it says that God created man and a woman, and that he did it without shame.
Okay.
So we added the shame later on, huh?
That's right. Man added it to it.
I think if everybody were nude all the time, I think it would lose its appeal.
Well, let me ask you this question. Hypothetically, Paul, you're walking down the street and approaching you is a woman with no top on. Would you say good morning or would you call the cops?
I would say good morning.
Okay, fair enough.
Nice to see you.
Nice to... Oh, come on, Mark.
What? It's nice to see you.
You
thanks
were on Lance with no visible means of support.
Oh, okay. Well, no. That's what you say. It's nice to see you. How you doing? What's new with you? I notice that you've opted not to wear clothing above the waist. Is this part of a demonstration, or are you...
Well, you know, with all today's terms of microaggression, where I'm told if you say to a woman, "Those are nice shoes you have on," that's a microaggression because you're saying that that's what she's worth. The sum value of her worth is her shoes.
Mm.
So if you complimented a woman on her physical appearance going topless,
you're looking mobbed.
That would be a microaggression as well, would it not? Or
yes,
maybe more
yes,
than a
yes,
microaggression.
Yes, yes, yes. Absolutely. You would not want to do that. All right, 1-800-795-9565. We're going to revert back to presidential topics momentarily, or possibly. We will be right back. Welcome back to WKOK Live Telephone Talk Show on the Mark. We got Bill standing by with a presidential remark. Let's wrap up the nudity discussion with Dan briefly. Dan, go right ahead. You're going to get the last word on nudity.
Okay, good morning, guys. Well, you know, in the beginning, Adam and Eve were created nude, but according to Jewish tradition, and I believe from a close reading of scripture, they had a halo around the genitalia. But once they fell, that halo left, and God gave them two things. God imputed unto them righteousness, a righteous covering for their sin, and also he did this through an animal sacrifice. He gave them clothing from an animal sacrifice to cover their nudity. And from that time on, many groups have been trying to uncover. So God gave us the first covering.
So that was the start
the
of
body.
That was the start of the apparel industry?
Yeah, it could be, yes, very much so. And remember, that was the first animal that was ever killed by God himself to cover Adam and Eve so they, because they lost
their
halo.
Well, let me ask you this. Did he make it, did he demand that they wear it, or did he make it available to them?
Well, apparently he put it on them. The best reading, he put it on them. Remember, before that, they were ashamed. They saw their body for whatever reason. Once they lost the halo around the genitalia, they used fig leaves. Remember, they covered themselves, which didn't work out too well. So God made them clothing from probably a lamb or that kind, or a full-grown sheep or goat or something. But the best thing he did, not only covered their nudity, he covered their sin. It says in Isaiah, he covered their sin, and that would be covered till the Lord Jesus Christ came, and he washed the sin away.
Okay, well, let me ask you this. Is this then demanded that women cover up? In other words, the Supreme Court would be violating some biblical prophecy or biblical admonition if they allow these women to go nude on a beach?
God set the precedent back in the Garden of Eden, and if you read the law, the civil law given in the Torah or the five books of the Pentateuch, it gives you clothing requirements. And also, there's certain ones for men, there's certain clothing requirements for women.
But that's only if you're a follower. The whole planet doesn't have to follow that. All right, we do have another caller.
They don't have to, but it's wise if they do.
Wise if they do. All right, I got you.
It builds a better society and more civil society.
Right.
I know
a lot
of groups don't follow that. That's true.
Right.
Have a civilized society, you should follow certain laws, civil laws.
Men shouldn't misbehave. All right. Thank you so much, Stan. Appreciate the call.
We have one call coming in and one on the line.
I think the dilemma is that men misbehave a lot of time when they are around women. But that's the man's fault, not the woman's fault.
Well, did Adam misbehave? It was Eve that got him into trouble, wasn't it? If you're accepting the biblical story.
Going all the way back to cavemen, when did women start covering up as society evolved into group, you know?
I don't think if you accept the Adam and Eve story, you're going to believe in cavemen.
Well, okay, so let's look at the Darwinian side of it, okay, evolution. Let's suppose that the Christian story is just an allegory and that cavemen were around before Christ and cave women. When did they start covering up?
Well, probably when it got cold.
Okay.
Wouldn't that be the practical reason?
But what if they were in Africa?
Well, then maybe they didn't. You know, you see the pictures of African tribes from the 30s and 20s, and the women were not wearing anything on top.
We digress. One of our listeners, when we were talking about President Trump and his latest actions, said, good morning. Our president asked for the G7 summit to allow Russia to be allowed in. What the H is wrong with him? He's a danger to the world. President Trump says, let's nuke hurricanes. Lawless, liar, stupid, racist president, thanks, says Bob.
First of all, he denies that he asked anybody to put a nuclear bomb in hurricanes, but it's something that had been discussed years before, dating back to the Eisenhower administration. It's been ruled a bad idea, but, you know, if you could come up with something that would keep the... Well, if you could come up with something that would keep them from hitting the coast of inhabited areas, wouldn't it be worth thinking about?
Right, if it didn't cause radiation. If we could come up with a carbon... And oxygen bomb.
I love this. You know, our president asked the G summit to allow Russia back in. What's wrong with him? Remember, it was Barack Obama who said that Mitt Romney was nuts when he said Russia was our biggest adversary. Obama would have let him in, did let him in. So what's the difference?
What is, and the president, so the next G7 is in the U.S. I heard that much, and it is going to be at the Doral Country Club?
He said he would host the next one there. I don't know whether it's set in stone.
And it's up to the president to allow or disallow individuals to attend? Like, we could invite Iran if we so chose or something?
I think it's a group decision.
Oh, okay. All right, 1-800-795-9565. Bill, what's your view on this? Thank you so much for waiting while we finished up our nudity conversation. You're on the mark.
Well, first I'll talk on Trump, but I'd like to comment on that nudity. But Trump, you said earlier, you didn't like on Wikipedia that you saw that he bombed Syria. The reason why he bombed Syria, and he let everybody know, all the other countries, hey, this is what I'm going to do.
Right, it was in retaliation. I don't think that's a terrible thing. I don't disagree with that move.
Well, you said earlier that it was a bad thing.
Oh, I didn't. I misspoke. Yeah, sorry.
He told Russia, which was an ally to Syria, said, listen, we're going in there. We're gonna send some missiles. The reason being was he was killing his own people. He was gassing his own people. So they say that Trump don't care about people of color, or he cares about humanity and he cares about other people. These people were getting killed by their own government, and he took action. No other country did. And he gets a bad rap, you know, for not caring about people of other races. Mm-hmm. And right there, he proved that he wasn't.
Good point. Okay.
All right, noted.
And getting on the nudity, right, you said it was somewhat comical. You said if a lady's walking down the street and she don't have her top on, right? First thing I'm going to do is I'm going to call the cops, right? If I see her again, the second thing I'm going to do is I'm going to call the cops. Because everything is about children, right? And if this person is a perpetual person that does that, you get progressive discipline and they end up in jail. You have nudity beaches for adults. These democratic cities that are letting these people run around like nothing, with nothing on, and let them sleeping in the streets and defecate in the streets. Now they're going to let them walk around with nothing on. You got to worry about the children and the mind of the children and the pedophiles that are going to take advantage of this.
What about public
displays? The sick people that take advantage of that.
What about public displays of affection, Bill? Suppose you had a boy and a girl sitting on a park bench, making out, if you will.
If they're kissing, yeah. But if it goes beyond that, where the hand goes in the shirt or anywhere, then it's across
what
the
about
line.
It? What if it's a same sex couple?
Unfortunately, it took me a long time to get to that point, but. That
you're there
as long as they don't go beyond the same guidelines as the other male and female.
Well, you said it was all about children. How would you explain that to children if you saw a man and woman kissing and then two men kissing or two women kissing? Would you feel you had to explain that to a child?
I personally disagree with it, but it's allowed by law to marry, so they're allowed to marry in Pennsylvania. So how can you stop it?
Okay, and why don't you just...
How can you stop it if they're allowed to get married in Pennsylvania?
Okay, so
you have to professionally, you have to talk to your child, and you got to let them know, or children in period, that, you know, you can't go over, you can't say nothing, because they're allowed to get married. They're allowed to have to be a couple if they weren't, you know what I'm saying?
But I think it's the same argument with nudity. There's a time and a place for almost everything. And you know, when you're around other people,
clothes off, there's something wrong with you.
There is.
With your
there's
top
something wrong
off.
With you.
Well, yeah, in the U.S. today, it wouldn't be legal. But if it were legal, you would just have to explain to your children, this is what women look like from the waist up. End of story.
The people that do it are the poor countries that have no clothes. If they had clothes, they would wear clothes.
Well, I guess that could be, but that doesn't have anything to do with the U.S. or New Hampshire beaches.
Where they do have enough money to do it. Yeah, I see what you're saying. But I don't agree with you when you say they're crazy for going around without their clothing on. I mean, there have been naturalist movements in this country dating back to the 1800s where people, you know, went in private and went around with consenting adults with no clothes on. Does that make them mentally ill?
No, I didn't say that, but I'm worried about the children.
I wouldn't worry about the
children. You can go in your private places, and if, you know what I mean, if you're a Philadelphia fan, Eagles club, and you have your private Eagles meeting, that's fine. But if you're due to your nudity, there's nude camping sites.
Well, one of our writers,
but they're all adults.
One of our writers says, if God wanted us to be nude, we would be born that way.
And this is from Than, to whom we often look to find out what God is thinking.
It just, the bike ride started for headlines. They got their headlines. They achieved what they wanted.
Yeah, they did.
Right. Well, yeah, good
and
point
it
there.
It happened in a democratic city, and, you know,
Laconia is a democratic city?
No, Philadelphia.
Oh, the nude bike ride. Yeah, I gotcha. Right. Okay. Are there any Republican cities? No, I didn't think so.
No, we're too uptight.
Right. All right. Thank you so much,
Thanks.
Bill. Appreciate
Bill. Appreciate your call.
Is that it? Yeah, that's it once again for the nudity words. But we have another email pending on another actual President Trump-related topic, so we'll read that on the radio. But first, I want to tell you some important words about the Sunbury Motor Company. I always tell you on Monday that they are the Sunbury Motor Company, family-owned dealership since 1915, 4th Street, Sunbury, and Routes 11 and 15, Homeless. Worth. Find out tons more about them at sunburymotors.com. They invite you to visit the Quick Lane on North 4th Street in Sunbury, where they specialize in all types of service on vehicles, state inspections. They'll pump you up with nitrogen. They're open Monday through Friday, 6:30 a.m. to 6 p.m., and Saturday, 6:30 a.m. to 2 p.m. You can find them on the web at sunburymotors.com. Check out their online specials. You can build a Ford car or truck like my Ford Ranger is down there. It's a black one, four-door, five-foot bed, has AC outlet back in the bed so you can plug things in. $35,000. It's on sale. That is a nice price for a nice truck. Sunbury Motor Company sells Ford, Hyundai, Kia, and Lincoln. They're a premier service provider for all makes of cars and trucks. They got great big tow trucks that look like mini cranes on trucks, and they got normal rollbacks for our cars. They're a master towing service with decades of damage-free experience. The Sunbury Motor Company.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC way? The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Welcome back to the KOK Live Telephone Talk Show. On the mark, 1-800-795-9565. Let's see. Read the Trump. Well, you had a climate change one up. Let's read
that. Yes, all right. Well, let me get back to it again here.
There you go.
It says, hello, if President Trump would admit there is climate change, we would not have some of these storms. He is so stupid, he only cares about him. The Bible says the world will burn up, and it's everybody's fault. The world needs to end and start over. God help us.
All right. Appreciate that. Dan, you were on the mark.
For 1 minute.
Yeah, 1 minute.
All right. Yeah, cavemen, where did they come from? Well, remember when Sodom and Gomorrah was destroyed? Only three people made it out alive, Lot and his two daughters. Scripture says they went and lived in a cave.
Oh.
And that's where, that's some of the first cave people, because their city was destroyed where they lived. They had a resort in living in a cave. So it was a backwards motion. It wasn't, men didn't become forward and move out of the caves. They were forced into the caves through circumstance.
Okay.
So that's where cavemen came from.
Okay.
All right.
All right.
Noted.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. Appreciate the call. Oops, I'm sorry. And what is the Sweden one?
Sweden, okay. Sweden, not exactly a poor third world country, has no restrictions on nudity in public. The weather probably has more impact on wearing clothes.
All right.
And then we have a very thoughtful...
From a woman.
We're not going to read the whole thing because she asked for anonymity. But she says, thanks for sticking up for women and saying that when a woman is nude, it's the responsibility of a man to control himself. Although I don't tend to be an exhibitionist nor comfortable exposing too much of my skin, I cherish the idea of knowing that I would be able to legally if I wanted to, because there are lots of days when it's 100 degrees and we women want to shed our shirts because it's so hot. But
all
certainly
right.
not there to entice a man to get close to us.
Well, and I think
that's an excellent point.
Right. And I think if women, more women were topless, it would stop being super duper noteworthy. I mean, I think we'd probably lose our fascination with it.
Well, I mean,
look at
Playboy magazine, and they made a fortune out of exposing women's tops.
Mm-hmm. Well, because it was unusual for them to be topless. But I think if everybody were topless more, well, not everywhere all the time, but more frequently, I think it would not be so noteworthy.
But there was moral outrage about Playboy from the very beginning.
Right.
And yet the magazine always presented women, I thought, in a very respectful manner. And later years, they started putting pictures of full frontal nudity in. But originally, they were just pictures of women's from the waist up.
Right. Okay. Well, that's fine. But that does. But I don't think it really says anything about this discussion.
No. But I think the point is, I think that it's a matter of taste how something is done. You could, you know, display your top with nothing on in a very tasteful way, but I think you could probably do it in a less than tasteful way as well.
I think we're just kind of hung up on. on this.
Possibly
that's
we are.
Yeah, that's our fate, unfortunately.
But I think to people like Dan, it's a moral issue. To other people, it's a matter of preserving decorum, if you will. And to still others...
We want society to be buttoned up, but I don't think society needs to. I think if you're worried about kids, you took them to a beach where women were topless, I think they might notice something's unusual initially and then go back to the sand and playing in the waves, and I think kids would probably be the least of our concerns at a
but
beach.
How does this tie in with the feminist movement that has us taking all of the indicators of sexuality out of the English language? No more he, she, her, him.
That's not part of the feminist movement. That's sort of a whole global opportunity to really, through language and everything else, just to take better care of people and to be more respectful. And
but then how could we possibly tolerate nudity? Because that would certainly obviate the fact that people were different. I stumped you at the end of the program.
I don't think that being respectful to everybody makes you think, okay, somehow they are all the same. I think everybody's unique, has a different gift and a different appearance, and that's what makes them wonderful. Not that it makes them any the same. I think their differences is what makes them so appealing. We're going to have to finish this tomorrow, unfortunately.
I'm waiting for you to break into a chorus of Kumbaya.
Let's do it. This is WDKOK Sunbury.